Third Epistle of John, verse 12, Demetrius has a good report of all men and of the truth. Yes, and we also bear record because we know that our record is true. I've got many things to say to you, but I will not write with pen and ink. But I hope that I shall trustfully see you, and we shall speak face to face very shortly. Peace be to you. Our friends here salute you. Greet the friends in this church by name. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil has not seen God. Last week we looked at something that I believe that God wants to do in this church above all else. And that word is mentioned, I think, over 7 times in this epistle. And that word is truth. And we talked last week that above all else, this church has to be a church of truth. The world outside has got to say that whatever we stand for, they may not agree with. That's okay. But whatever we do must be able to be backed out by how we behave. But we have got to be very, very different. A policeman stopped a guy from running through a stop sign. And the driver got out and immediately protested and said, "I slowed down. I stopped. Slowed down. What's the difference? Stop. Slow down. What's the difference?" So the policeman says, "Get out of the car." And as the policeman got the guy out of the car, he starts hitting him with his stick. And as he's hitting him with his stick, he said, "Sir, would you like me to stop now or slow down?" There is a difference between stop and slow down. They don't mean the same. God is interested in our lives of slowing down. He's interested in our lives of stopping those things that need to be stopped. And I believe that we as a church will be able to move forward more this year than we've ever moved forward before when this whole church as a family is known by the word truth. Our lives reflect truth. Our behavior reflects truth. John, as I said last week, rejoiced greatly in verse 3 when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. And verse 4, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Truth is something that should be the hallmark. And then we went on to say, as we finished last week, about prosperity. And we mentioned 3 things about prosperity, which we really needn't go into. I covered those areas last week on prosperity. But I do believe God wants to prosper us. But I believe God, as I said, wants to prosper us, our soul. Not necessarily our bank balance. He wants to prosper us, our soul. He says in verse 2, "Behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth." It's that which God is interested in. And we talked 3 things about the word prosperous last week. And they're there on the board for you. It's not something we should actively pursue in the sense of that God wants to prosper me financially. I believe he does. And I believe God wants to prosper us in all I do. But I believe the thing that God wants us to pursue is truth. Because I believe that is what the soul requires. That thy soul may prosper. We prosper above all things when we seek first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be added unto you. So does John then not want to be as prosperous at all? Yes, he does. I believe John does want us to be prosperous. In fact, he goes on to tell us that he does. We know that what Gaius' circumstances may have been, we know that his soul was prospering. And John was saying, as equally as your soul prospers, so I hope materially you will prosper. But I want us to read something which I believe is vital. This is what Rick Warren has to say about church. Rick Warren says, in a world where there is disunity and fragmentation of every kind, the church should offer genuine community. In a world where there is alienation and war, the church should witness reconciliation and peace. In a world where there's hatred and evil, the church's lifeblood is love and harmony. As a result of the finished work of Christ on the cross, believers are to release that they are God's new society. He wants the church to be a visual aid before a watching world. I believe that is what God wants for his church. I believe Rick Warren has summed it up exactly what we have to be in 2011 here in Tyburn Road. I believe that the hallmark of truth needs to be that we are a genuine community. Now I'm talking about, first of all, the church. Before we step out, and you're going to hear about that at the end of this service, before we step out into a world, there needs to be in this church a genuine community. Now I'm not hearing any amens, perhaps you're quiet this morning, but I want to tell you something. God can't do anything outside if nothing is happening inside. We may need just to put away some of the things that just get on our nerves. We may have to get rid of some petty little things that seem to irritate us about our members. But the hallmark and the truth of what the Apostle John was saying is that this church will be a genuine church. It won't speak that it knows the gospel of the kingdom. It won't speak that it knows that God has transformed our lives. It will show that God has transformed our lives. 2011 is important because in September in 2011, this church will be hallmarking to the community on a free fun day, which will probably be about 1,000 people coming through if it goes the same way as it did in 2009. And the reflection of that community still rings true today, that people still do stop me and say, we really enjoyed the fun day you give us. Are you going to give us another fun day? I hope, though, they saw something genuine in the community in which we serve here. The police have genuinely believed that I'm interested in youth and have given us £1,000. We've already had £2,000 because the community chest genuinely believed when they interviewed me that I was interested in youth work. Now, if I'd taken the £2,000 and just procrastinated, oh yes, we are going to do it, then our talk is talk. But we know we have 25 teenagers on a Friday night coming through this place. In other words, what we've said, we've done. We are genuine. And that £2,000, there's a record kept, and every penny is written down in Rob's book and will be given to the community chest to let them know, although they haven't asked for it, they will know at the end of the year where every penny has been spent, because we want to be genuine. We live in a world, like Rick Warren says, which is in a world, let me repeat it for you, in a world where there's disunity and fragmentation. In a world where there's insecurity and no hope. The church is the answer. But ask the man outside what he thinks of church. You'll find it's different to what you believe there is about church. Now, I'm not saying that the church has always got it wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I believe people have false impressions of the church. But I believe when they see a genuine community in here, it will reflect the radiance of God's glory. Whatever people thought about Jesus, they couldn't help but notice there was a difference. Whether they liked him or whether they disliked him. Pontius Pilate met him only for about 3 hours. But the hallmark, Pilate knew he had just killed an innocent man. The genuine of Jesus Christ having met with one man for a few hours, was enough to convince that man that he'd done the wrong thing. We in 2011 have got to be a church where every one of you are genuinely committed to one another. There are some things in the church we will agree on. There are some things in the church we won't agree on. But if we're going to get hung up over everything we don't agree on, then I'm seriously suggesting, is this place the place for you? Because we're moving forward, not backwards. We're not standing still, we're going forward. But we're only going forward when we're a genuine community of believers who love one another and have the hallmark of bearing of love one another. In a world of disfragmentation, they want to see something that is genuine. And I believe we are the answer to a world which is lost now and all truth. We saw it sadly with our politicians. And one politician, the first politician ever, has been sent to prison over, you know, the money business that went on last year. No, I find it sad. I find that sad. We ask these people to be genuinely true, don't we? And we believe it. Now, we know they're not perfect. No one is. But there's still a certain thing that when they say we believe. But I wonder, we talk about politicians, but I wonder, what is the church like to a dying world out there? Are we genuine in the way we behave? Is this church a community of genuine, committed believers? Not agreeing with everything that goes on. Not agreeing with the pastor, but loving him. Not agreeing when they think he's wrong, but getting on their knees and praying for him. Or are we going to be like the people when Jesus went to church? They didn't like what he said, so what they did is they dragged him outside and tried to throw him over a cliff. That's what the church did with one of its members. They tried to stone him 5 times. Not the public, the religious people of this world, the people in this community, the genuine so-called church people, 5 times tried to commit mass murder until they finally did it at a cross called Calvary. I want to tell you, we can treat each other pretty much the same way. Your pastor won't be perfect. He's not perfect, he's just forgiven. But we need to understand one thing. Don't expect the world to come in here and say, I want to be part of something, if it's not genuine. And John says, I'm so glad that I find your church speaking truth. He said, I find no greater joy. It doesn't matter if you've got 2,000 people in your church. It doesn't matter whether you've got £20,000 in your bank balance at the church. He said, my greatest joy is that I can see a church full of truth. Full of truth. He goes on to talk about a guy who we're going to bump into throughout 2011. And this guy is a guy that's in the church. And this guy is someone who wants to be the number one. Or he's not happy enough just to be in the church. He wants to make sure that everybody knows he's number one. And John's got a few things to say to him about being number one. I want to tell you, I don't know what your expectations are. But I hope your expectations are to be a Martha, to serve, and to be a Mary who sits at the feet of Jesus. It's when we serve together that we will see things transformed. This little book, a few verses, is probably going to take us months to get through. But I don't care. Because if we can't build something together in genuine community, we're not going to build anything. We can have your big church. But unless the truth of God is reflected in your daily lives, unless the genuineness of what Christ has done in your heart reflects to everybody you bump into, then we have not got a genuine relationship. We've got a false relationship. Because the opposite of genuine is false. The opposite of truth is false. We're not saying we're perfect to people. But what we are saying is that we're a people committed to God. Let's do the two things is, this church has got to be known as a church of reconciliation. Rick Warren says, in a world where there's warfare, the church needs to be a place of reconciliation. But brothers and sisters, it starts with you and me. Has anybody got anything against me? Have I got anything against anyone? If we have, God says, don't bring anything to your altar. Leave it. Go first of all and put that which is right. I want to tell you something. We should be known as a church of reconciliation. Friends, we won't get it right. And there'll be many times throughout the year we'll probably have to sit with each other and say, can you explain? Because this, I don't believe this is right. Or can you explain this? What we don't want to have is you going on the phone to someone and saying, hey, you see what he said this morning, don't you? Blah, 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 blah. That's how the world behaves. Jesus Christ made a principle in Scripture in Matthew that if you have something against someone, you go and you see that person. And you sort it out. And if you can't sort it out with that person, you go and bring a mediator. And then if you can't sort it out with a mediator, you then bring it to your pastor. Well, your pastor doesn't need to know, first of all, that you've got a problem with Sarah Jane. Go and speak to Sarah Jane. Friend, brothers and sisters, the hallmark of 2011 will be whether or not we are prepared to reconcile with one another. And that may mean that we have to say, I forgive you, even though we are the victim. It's easy to apologize when you're in the wrong. It's very difficult to make the first step when you're innocent. But I want to tell you, we need to be a hallmark of a genuine community. There needs to be a hallmark of reconciliation and peace. Peace should be what this church should know. After all, we know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, according to Apostle Paul. That's what he says. He says, let your prayer and supplications, your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. And the peace of God. It's not something we ask for. It's something and the peace of God. Don't ask for something that God has already given you. God gave you peace the day you came to Him and trusted Him as your Savior. The trouble is, so much other stuff has gone into our lives that we no longer have peace because we can't struggle with peace because of all the other garbage. If you've got something good in the bottom of your bin and you pour all your rubbish over the top of it, it's covered. Perhaps we need to clean the bin out. But as a church, this year will be a church of reconciliation and peace. The world out there has got to know that we're big enough to say sorry. That the world out there needs to know that where there is war in the church, peace must be the answer in our church. The enemy is at the door. Be not deceived. The enemy of our souls wants to tear us apart. But greater is he that is in us than he that's in this world today. But he can only be greater if we give him permission to be greater. He can't be greater if we want to harbor stuff in our hearts. I'm serious. John says there's no greater joy than to know that you walk in truth. Truth isn't putting things that need to be addressed at the back shelf. Truth is putting things that need to be addressed at the front. But you do it in such a way where love and grace is the hallmark of everything we do and everything we say. Your words are not bitter as you approach someone. Your words are full of grace. Your eyes are full of tears if there's something to be put right, not full of hatred. Your heart is one that wants to melt with the person with whom you want to communicate. Not a heart that is so hardened that it's like stone. Friends, God expects something different with you, Kevin, than he does with the man who has not yet met him. Because the man who has not yet met him may be Kevin's only person he meets. And if Kevin doesn't reflect the glory of God, that may be the only opportunity that man sees of the glory of God. Very few people does Jesus, I believe, come down physically and show himself to people in Tyburn. I haven't heard of many. Because God says, I don't need to. I've got my ambassadors. They reside in 1107 Tyburn Road. They reflect my glory. Because they have my glory. I wonder whether we are going to be those last two things. So we've got six things I believe we need to work on as we come to a close of the meeting this morning. I believe we need to be a genuine community of truth. I truly do believe that. We need to be a reconciliation and peace. And I believe the greatest two things we need is love and harmony. I tell you what, I won't put up with disunity. You may not like what I do. And if that is true, we may have to sit and have a chat. And if we can't come to some conclusion, it may be a part of the way. I don't know. I hope that never happens. But what I'm saying is, there will be harmony in this place in 2011. There won't always be easy roads going through. There will be times when you will disagree. And there will be times when we will maybe sometimes have to just put ourselves to one side and talk through these things. I do not believe a church that has no problems to me is not a church. Because we're all individuals. Aren't we? You know, you're not perfect, Eunice. As much as she believes she is, she actually is not perfect. I've spoken to her husband, and I'm going to assure you that she's not perfect. Jesus said, all men will know that you're my disciples when you... Let's shout it out. When you... Yeah, it means he said that when you... Didn't say when you sit beside each other. It says when you love one another. What word do you think he used for love? Thank you. And what does agape love mean?
Unconditional.
In other words, Pastor, I don't like the way you dress. Well, neither does my wife. I did it again. She got on the phone this morning. She said, you've gone to church again. You've put the wrong jacket on the wrong suit again. I'm going to throw that jacket away. So my other jacket is in there. And apparently I did it last week and I pinched David's glasses. And then I couldn't find my own glasses and I went all week trying to find my glasses. And of course, because I had the wrong jacket on and I'd removed the right jacket on the old jacket, I found my glasses in the old pocket, which should have been in the new pocket. Does that make sense? I've been watching Yes Minister. So, at 10 to 11, I quickly went out the back of the church and put the right jacket on, I think, to the right trousers. I don't know. No one spotted it, I hope, last week, but my wife did. She's very good at spotting things like that. And I said to her, I haven't got a tie for my white shirt. And she reminded me that I have lots of ties for my white shirt. And really what I should have said is I didn't want to particularly put a tie on. But some people like their pastor to wear a tie. Wow, if that's a worn. Sorry, you like a dicky bow. Friends, if that's all our hang-ups are, praise be to God. Eh? Wow, if that's all we've got to worry about this year, me putting the wrong jacket on, I'll buy into that. I can't see me wearing a dicky bow, Alan. Well, I might like. I might come in jeans next week. I've never worn jeans, but I might come in jeans next week. Have you got some jeans? Yeah. Listen. Let there be love poured out among us. We're not always going to see eye to eye. Friends, we're not this year going to see eye to eye. But we can say we're going to love one another. We can say that when Jesus looks down at this church, he'll say, you may not have the greatest number of churches compared to some down the street, but I tell you what you do have. You have truth running through you. You are a genuine community. You are bringing reconciliation and hot peace into a broken world here in Tyburn. And there's a love and a harmony that exists amongst you that just explodes into glory. That our fragrance of worship will be one where Jesus is. It's a worship of truth. It's not pretend. There's no pretend in that church. But Father, look at my children. They worship me in spirit and in truth. Oh friend, 2011. Let's sign on the dotted line. Let's say, as for me and my house, we will try to. We're going to do it. We're going to fall out, but we're not going to get strung up. We're not going to get stressed over it. We're going to sort it out. We're going to let Pastor have a bad day. Not too many, but we're going to let him have a bad day. Because you have bad days at work. You have bad days when you're not at work. Well, we do, don't we? Why do we expect then other people not to have bad days? We all have them. We want to pray as we come to an end. It's 12 o'clock. I haven't started these notes, by the way, yet. This is the second week and we haven't started the notes. Well, perhaps we are going to go through 2011. But I hope we've said enough this morning to share what I believe the vision for 2011 is. But I believe it starts with you and me. I believe this place needs to be a house filled with the truth and genuineness of our believers together. Because it's together we stand. Together. Every one of you are as vitally as important. In fact, you need to say it to your next door neighbor. You know, you are as important as I am in this church. No, go on, you need to say it to people. You need to say, even if they say, well, I don't do anything in the church, we'll say, that's okay. 2011 will make the difference. We'll work on it. But you are a valuable member of Tyburn Church, whether or not you believe it or not. It's the truth. I'm finishing now with it's 12:05, and I'm finishing with a poem. When you've trusted Jesus and walked his way, when you felt his hand lead you day by day, but your steps now take another way, start over. When you've made your plans and they've gone airy, when you've tried your best and there's nothing more to try, when you failed yourself and you just don't know why, start over. When you failed your kids and they've grown and gone, when you've done your best but it's just turned out wrong, and now your grandchildren have come along, start over. When you've prayed to God so you know his will, when you've prayed and prayed and you don't know still, this is what the verse is for me. When you want to stop because you've had your fill, start over. When you think you're finished and you want to quit, when you've bottomed out in life's deepest pit, when you've tried and tried to get out of it, start over. When the year has been long and successes have been few, when December comes and you're feeling blue, God gives a January just for you, start over. Start over. Friends, let's start over. Let's plan this year as a year where we walk in spirit and in truth.